Man, that blessed my soul. Amen. I'm glad he lives. Amen. Thank God I can face tomorrow. Amen. Because he lives. Praise God. I promise you this. Not going to hurt you. But I want to just mind the Lord. Amen. You'll not accuse me of being profound when I'm through. But I do have a burden on my heart to give you a message from the Lord. Amen. This is not you won't find a lot of wisdom in it, but it's just a message. Amen. And probably a very quick one. So I see some of you now coming along now. That'll work, preacher. Amen. Take your Bible, please, if you will, and turn with me to Jeremiah chapter number 5. Jeremiah chapter number 5. Jeremiah chapter number 5. And we'll read a few verses here. Jeremiah chapter number 5. If you don't mind, stand with me while we read from the Word of God. Amen. Jeremiah chapter number 5. I hope, pray, you'll come back tonight. Bring a friend. You don't want to miss the message tonight. Amen. And then every night this week, I guess, Lord willing, we'll be here unless something happens. And otherwise, then some of y'all can preach. If the Lord comes, you can have it. Amen. And so if you can, come back and bring a friend and let's fellowship together. Amen. And I do want to say it's a joy to be here. Amen. Appreciate you having us up. And it's always a pleasure to come. And the honor is mine. Amen. And let's look at Jeremiah chapter number 5. And look with me, please, at verse number 22. Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse number 22. Everybody there say amen. Amen. The Bible says, "Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual degree, that it cannot pass it?" You ever wonder what stopped those waves from keep on coming? They come in and crash, and God said, "That's far enough. Go back." Amen. "But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you." Father, help us now. Lord, after much study and search, I believe with my heart that this is what you'd have us to preach. And God, it's just a message, and I know it's an important one. And I pray you'd give the people a heart and a mind to be attentive, and Lord, especially to give you their undivided attention. Help us today. Help those that may be here lost. God, pray you'd deal with their hearts. God, that saint that's gone backwards, Lord, draw him close to thee. Have your way in our life. We'll love you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. And we'll concentrate our thoughts here on verse number 25. Of course, he's talking to Israel. But we want to just pull this out and make practical sense of it just for a moment. The Bible says your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. I want to preach by God's grace this morning on robbery in progress. Amen. We're being robbed today by our sins. He said, your iniquities have... How many of you understand and realize that iniquities is not the same as sin.
Yeah, right.
Did you know that? You understand that that sin, when a man sins, that is the transgression of the law of God. Amen? God put that law in your heart, folks. And whether you ever read the Bible or not, whether you ever look at the Ten Commandments, God, the law of God is written in your heart.
Yeah, right.
And brother, when you sin, it's because you transgress that law. God puts up a sign that says, don't come any further, and you keep going.
That's right.
That's sin.
Yeah.
It's a transgression of the law of God. That is the definition for sin. But iniquities is the character of the sin. Amen? The reason that you steal is because you're a crook.
Yeah, amen.
Iniquity, that would be the crook. Amen? That's what you are. People get drunk. To be drunken is a sin.
Yeah.
But they get drunk because they're a drunk.
Yeah.
That's their character. You understand there's a difference. Amen? But we're just going to look at this. Either way, he names both of them here, and he says your iniquities have turned away these things. And your sins have withholden good things from you.
Yes, sir.
So we're just going to look for a few minutes. I got a list of a few things that I'm going to give you today that sin will steal from you. Amen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's some things that sin will rob in your life.
Amen.
There's some things, if you're not careful, sin will take from you and leave you. Amen. And you're going to be the worse for it, not the better. Amen.
That's right.
Bible tells us here plainly that sins withhold some good things from your life. Let me just, I just want to be obedient to God this morning, give you the things on our heart. Amen. Number one, the first thing, do you realize that your sins will steal your desire to be saved? Did you know that? Did you know that God draws a man by the Holy Ghost of God, but sin in a man's life will numb him from that desire to want God, that desire to be saved? Amen. Sin will steal that from you. It'll rob it from you, amen. It'll take away a desire in a man's heart that'll be saved. It'll rob him, amen. Literally, it hinders. You say, "Why?" It hinders your choice. Amen. You're going to have a choice to make. Listen to me carefully. I know what this preacher preaches here, and I understand the doctrine that he stands on. Amen. That's where I stand. We believe the same. That's why I'm here. We have the same faith. Amen. And it's Bible faith. We're Bible believers. Amen. And thank God there's just one way, and that's Jesus Christ, and He's the only way. Amen. But if you're not careful, brother, you know what happens? That lust, we have lust. Every man in this world is born with a lustful spirit. He's born with lust inside of him. You don't have to teach a man to do wicked. It comes natural, amen? You don't have to teach a man to lie or cheat or steal. It's just natural. It's in him. And you're born with a lust to do evil. That's why you got to be taught to do right. You don't have to. You never look around when it comes harvest time or planting time. You don't go out and plant Johnson grass in your garden. Amen. It just grows up natural. Same way as lust. Amen. Every one of us is born with that lust. Brother, when that lust is conceived, the Bible, what do you mean conceived? Well, around us, we're filled with temptations. Amen. Everywhere you look, every time you turn around, the devil's throwing something else, or your flesh is throwing something else toward you and tempts you with that temptation, whatever it may be. And brother, when that lust inside of you gets together with that temptation, that lust conceives. And when lust conceives, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Amen. I'm just telling you, you know what sin will do? Sin will rob you of your choice. You know what? You know what men will do? They'd rather have their ungodliness than to have God. They'd rather have their wickedness than to have God. They'd rather have one more drink than to have heaven and have God. You know, that's the stupidest, most foolish thing I've ever heard in my life, as much as I hate to admit. I see people, you ever seen folks holding up them signs? It'll say Panama City or bust. Or it'll say Florida or bust. Or it'll say California or bust. You know what I'm talking about? That means they're going to stop at nothing to get to California. Why would anybody in their right mind want to go to the land of fruits and nuts? Amen. I mean, think about that. But people, they do that. Myrtle Beach or bust. You know what I'm talking about. Come on, shake your head right there. Just hold your head back and swallow. It'll go down. Amen. And they'll say, Myrtle Beach or bust. And you know what people today are doing? They're holding up signs all over the world. And it says, to hell or bust. Amen. And no matter what you preach, no matter what you say, no matter what you show them, they've made a choice. I'm going to hell. Leave me alone. I remember one time I witnessed to my a relative of mine. And I said, listen, I said, I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to get saved. I'm begging you. Please don't go to hell. Won't you accept Jesus Christ? Here's what he said right to my face. He said, you can talk all night. You can talk till you're blue in the face. I will get saved when I get ready. I said, you will die and go to hell. You will not get ready. Hello? Why? Because we make, you know what we're notorious for? Making bad choices.
Yep.
We don't ever make the right choice. Amen. People don't know how to choose the right thing. And I'm telling you, sin will hinder your choice. Sin will rob you of making the right choice in your life. You know what happens? You come to church one Sunday and come in there and sit down, and the Holy Ghost of God will smack you in the heart and He'll say, hey, that's talking to you. You need to get saved. You need to get born again. And He'll start drawing. And He'll start wooing. And brother, and you'll grip that pew a little bit. And the devil will jump up here. And he'll say, oh, you're just 27.
Yeah.
You've got plenty of time.
Oh, hey,
brother. Why not just wait? Why not party a little longer? Mm-hmm. He won't say it like that.
Yeah.
He'll say it where it sounds convincing and real good. And you'll say, yeah, I'll just wait. All right. Then you go outdoors and next Sunday you come back.
Oh, hey,
and next Sunday you come back.
Oh, hey, brother.
The Holy Ghost of God comes to you, and He draws, and He woos.
Yeah.
The only problem is, you ain't gripping the pew like you used to.
That's it, brother. You're right.
And it ain't pulling like it used to.
Yep.
And it ain't hurting like it used to.
Uh-huh.
And so the devil don't have to work as hard.
Yep.
And so he says, oh, you've got plenty of time. Just wait till next time. All right, I'll do that. And you go out the door. And the next time you come, the Holy Ghost comes back out.
Yep.
And he sees you and he says, I think I'll go to this one behind you. And you're done.
Yeah.
Amen. You say, why? Because sin has robbed you and sin has hindered you from making the right choice with God. You say, preacher, a loving God wouldn't send me to hell. Listen, if God Almighty would send His own Son to hell, brother, He'll let you go, amen, if you won't receive the finished work He did at Calvary, amen. I'm not trying. Is everybody all right? I'm just trying to mind the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you, sin is a robber. Sin is a thief. And there's a robbery in progress. And sin is stealing you blind. It's robbing you from the most precious thing in the world. And that is an opportunity to know God. Amen. That's why you were put here anyway. You weren't put here to live the American dream.
That's right.
God put you here to get saved. Glorify His name.
Sir.
Magnify His name.
Yes,
but we don't do that. We made a choice, hadn't we? It hinders our choice. You know what it'll do? It'll harden your heart.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I heard a fellow say one time, he's a Calvinist. You know, whatever will be. Que sera, sera. If you're supposed to, you will. If God's gonna say, ain't nothing you can do about it. Oh, listen, I got a word for that. It's in the Greek and the Hebrew. Are you ready? It ain't. Hey, you're gonna have a choice to make. You hear what I'm saying? He said, well, I got proof that God can do what He wants. I said, all right, let's hear it. He said, He hardened Pharaoh's heart.
Go ahead,
I said, you're absolutely right. The Bible says that.
Yeah.
Why don't you finish it?
Yeah, right.
He hardened his heart because Pharaoh made a choice.
Yeah.
Hello? God, everything God does concerning Calvinism is based upon your choice. Are you listening to me, church? I'm telling you, sin will rob you of that choice.
Yep.
Amen. Sin will hinder you. It'll harden your heart. And the next time, next week, you don't even stop by the church. You ride by and roll down the window and throw a beer can out in the yard. Amen. And curse the preacher and call him a false prophet while you're laughing on your way to the lake.
Yeah, you're right, brother.
Hello?
You're right, brother.
Say, what's happening, preacher?
Yep.
Your heart's getting hard,
yep.
Amen. God,
right,
just let me go, amen.
Yep.
God's giving you that reprobate mind, just like we read about this morning. Yep. Nothing registers. You don't care about God. And now, bless God, you can't even get conviction. I'm telling you something. God help you.
Yep.
I feel sorry for you.
Yep.
If you can stand in a Bible-believing Baptist church and listen to the truth of God, and you will not be convicted about your sin. God have mercy. You're in more trouble than you could ever imagine. Hello. God help us. I said sin's a robber. Sin's a thief. It'll rob us. Amen. There's a robbery in progress. And sin'll rob us of our desire to be saved. Isn't that sad? I remember hearing a story about a girl one time, and she got her mom begged her to go to church, and brother, she kept putting it off. Finally, she went one time, just to fulfill her mama's wishes. God convicted her heart. Boy, I mean, she gripped that pew. She stood there, tears dripped off her chin. And her buddy came in the back door and said, come on, Cindy, we're going to the beach. Aren't you ready to go? She slipped by that pew, and her mom squeezed her hand. She said, honey, please don't go. I'm begging you, don't go. You don't want to go down there. And she said, Mama, I'm leaving. And she went out the door and went down on spring break, got down to Myrtle Beach, had a big time. While she was down there, she met a young man in a little old place, you know, out of the way place. And they had a good time, and they danced, and they drank, and they, boy, partied, you know. And she, for the next couple of nights, went and stayed with him. Just met him at Myrtle Beach. Spent two nights with him. That Sunday morning, as she got up and getting ready to leave and come back home, she went in there and sat down, and she noticed on the coffee table was a little box, a little gift box. And she opened up that little gift box. And inside that gift box was a little black box about this long, shaped like a little coffin. She said she opened up that little coffin, and inside was a little note and one little black rose. And that note said, welcome to the world of AIDS. Are you hearing me? I'm telling you, she didn't live very long after that. Maybe just a year or so. And as far as I know, never got saved. Heart was hardened. Hey, sin will rob you of your choice. Sin will ruin your choice. Sin will harden. It'll hinder. It'll harden your heart.
Right,
are you
brother.
Hearing me? God help us.
Yes,
God help you.
Yes,
you
sir.
Sat there and you made fun of the preaching.
Yeah.
Made fun of the Sunday
right,
school. Made fun of the singing, the choir.
Yeah, right,
and laugh about God. Laugh
yeah.
about
Go
church.
Ahead,
and everything else. Bless God.
Yeah.
One of these days. You hear me?
Yeah.
God's going to get the last laugh.
Right, yeah.
God's
going to be the one to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Amen. Why? Because sin robs us.
Yes, sir.
Sin robs us. Yes. Amen. Sin will rob you your desire to be saved. Amen. Let me hurry. Let me give you another. Can I help you? Sin not only robs you of your desire to be saved, sin hurts, watch this now, it hurts your assurance of salvation. Amen. Sin will hurt your assurance. Say, what do you mean? Sin robs you of your joy.
That's right,
brother. You know what it'll do? It'll come in the middle of night and steal your peace from you.
Yeah.
That you have with God, the peace of God, the peace with God, the peace in God.
Yep.
It'll take all your peace, all your joy.
Yes,
I'm telling you, it'll leave you miserable, high and dry. And brother, living and walking and moving by your flesh and by your feelings, and you will never do the right thing. Well, you know what'll happen? You say, preacher, I don't believe. I don't matter if you believe it or not. I tell you what, we got some folks in here can back up what I'm about to tell you. You hear me? You know what it'll do? It'll have you. Well, I've been saved 25 years, preacher. And then next week we see, well, I ain't sure I'm saved or not.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, right, brother.
Can I tell you something? Do you realize that God set it up that way? It was set up that way, not so you would lose your salvation.
That's right.
Let me just go ahead and fix that right quick. Can I do that?
Go ahead, brother.
I'm telling you, I am born in the family of God. I am a son of God. And I will never quit being a son of God. You don't get in and then get out of it. Hello? You don't lose it tomorrow. I got a question for you. I got a question for you to believe that. What sin is it?
Yeah, right. Go ahead,
which sin?
Yeah.
Will cause you to lose. Well, they some people say, no. I want to know what your sin is.
Yeah, yeah.
Which one is it that would cause you to lose it?
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Hello? Is everybody all right?
Yeah, go ahead, brother. You're right. Yeah, amen. Yeah.
I'm just trying to help you, man. I'm just telling you, dear heart, listen to me. Do you realize my daddy, my father, my earthly father, my dad, just passed away a few weeks ago. And he, between he and my mother, they had me. I was born into the Coley family. Are you with me? Do you realize there was a space of about almost a couple years there where my dad and I hardly spoke? Are you listening? In all that time, I never got a letter in the mail that said, you are no longer a Coley. You are no longer in the Coley family. You are disowned and disbarred and dismembered. Not one letter. Not a phone call. Nobody said, you're no longer one of them. Why? I was born to them.
That's right.
And no matter what I do, and no matter what he did, I will never stop being his son.
Right.
And I'm telling you, in 1986, February the 2nd, I was born again in the family of God. I'm a child of the King, joint heir with Jesus Christ, and I will never stop being a son of God. Amen. If we deny him, yet he abideth faith. He cannot deny himself. When I got saved, I got Christ in me, the hope of glory. Hello. And you know what? Been a couple times in my life, I got out there and got mixed up, messed up, sidetracked by the world. Hello?
And I believe if you'd have come up to me as a charismatic, you could about convince me I'd lost it.
Yeah, right.
Or else I'd never got it.
Yeah, right. Go ahead, brother.
You say, what do you mean? Sin.
Yes, sir.
Will cause you to lose the assurance.
Yes, sir.
Of your salvation.
Yes, sir.
I said, God set it up that way. Not, listen to me, not so you would lose your salvation, so you would regain your walk and fellowship with God, realizing you're in sin. Or living back the sins. Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying? See, you ever heard anybody saying this? I've said this before. Well, so and so, you know, he was saved 5 years, but he's back out in sin again. You ever heard anybody? You listen to me now. I'm going to help you. Technically speaking, you ever get saved, you cannot get in sin again. Hello. You listen to me. When you die, when they put you in that coffin and take you down there and put you in that dirt, you're going to die. Listen to me. In Christ. Or in sins.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And if you die in your sins, it's because you were never saved.
That's right.
Hello? If you ever get born again, you can only die in Christ. You can go back out and sin. You can go out and live in sin in the world. But you can't ever get out of Jesus. Hello? But you know what it'll do? You'll lose that assurance. You know what happens when you lose your assurance? Quit reading your Bible.
Yes, sir.
You quit. You get off your knees.
Yep.
And you start laying on the bed at night and saying a few things before you go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And after a while, you forget to do that. Mm-hmm. Everybody all right?
Amen,
you understand? So what's happening, preacher? You're losing it. You're losing your assurance of salvation. And sin is causing it in your life. You know what you'll do? You won't be faithful to church. You won't be faithful. Whatever little job you had at church, you'll come back to preach and say, I believe the Lord wants me to give this up, preacher. I don't think I need to be doing this no more. I got so much going on and everything, you know. One of the first steps, listen to me now, can I help you? One of the first steps, when you know a person's about to leave church, I'm talking about leave church. Go somewhere else, move away, whatever. They're going to come to the preacher and say, I can't do this anymore. They give up their job. Well, it got quiet right there. Is everything all right? I mean, whatever it is, I'm just saying, everybody all right? You're going to give that back. Give up I just can't drive the van no more. I can't go to nursing home no more, you know. And I just can't preach. I don't have time to preach on the street no more, preacher.
Yeah, right.
And the next thing you know, where's sister and bro so-and-so?
Yeah, right, brother.
Where's so-and-so?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you didn't hear? Well, of course, the preacher's always the last to hear.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they left.
Mm-hmm.
You know. They
right,
hey, I had. Well, let me move along. I wouldn't want to upset you this morning. Amen. My time's about gone anyway. Sin, listen to me, sin robs you of your desire to be saved. Sin will hurt your assurance of salvation. It robs you of your joy, your peace, and your security. Everybody all right? Number three, sin steals your spirituality. Amen? Everybody okay? Adam and Eve sinned. They hid themselves from God. Amen? Sin robbed Jonah of being in the presence of God. Everybody okay? You ever wonder, you ever thought about that? How in the world can you leave the presence of God? Bible says Jonah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. How do you flee from the presence of God? Bible says Adam and Eve hid themselves from his presence. How do you hide from the presence of God? You know what David said? Cast me not from thy presence. How? What's God going to do? Pick him up and throw him? Chunk him? No. What are they talking about, preacher? They're talking about fellowship. Don't let me get away from your fellowship,
yeah,
God.
Yeah.
That, you know what, God and Enoch walking along,
yeah,
you know, and God says, hey, why don't we just go spend the day at my house?
Yeah.
And Enoch says, okay, and they've been there ever since. You say, why? There ain't no night there.
Yeah, amen.
That'll catch you about 5 o'clock. Amen. I said, it steals your spirituality.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah.
Sin, listen to me now. Everybody okay? Sin causes people to quit church.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I had a lady in my church, her and her husband. They were coming to church, plugging along, got in a bind. So I did what pastors do. I got money and bailed them out, made a car payment, a house payment. You know how that goes. And so about a week later, she just quits coming. Well, then I go visit her. I find out, well, she's mad because what somebody did at church. And matter of fact, it's my wife. She said, I ain't never coming back. And I went over and talked to her, fixed it. Come to find out, it wasn't even her fault. It was just a mistake, a mess up. Wasn't nobody's fault. And so now listen to me. I got it fixed up. She came on Wednesday night, got it sorted out. Everything's fine. But that wasn't the reason she quit. So you know what happened? She left Wednesday night. I ain't seen her since. 5-6 months ago. Say, why, preacher? Because she wasn't honest. Did I mention sin will cause you to lie too? You see, she was just using the incident at church, but her heart had already left. Her heart was back in the world. Her heart was back out in sin. And now she's out in sin. Are you listening to me, church? Sin. Hey, sin will cause you to lose your spirituality. It'll rob you of your spiritual walk with God. Oh, I don't know why I'm going on Wednesday night. I can stay home and rest. I've been working all day. And so you skip the next 3 Wednesdays. Then Sunday night comes. Hey, can I say something to you? Can I help you right quick? I'm telling you, listen to me. If you make this statement, if you say, I'm not going to go to church Wednesday night, because I need to rest. I'm tired. I'm telling you, if you stay at home because you're tired and you need to rest, you're what the Bible calls a fool.
Go ahead, bro.
I'll say that again to you after church if you want me to.
Go ahead.
I'm telling you, are you listening to me? You say, why, preacher? Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you're tired, the first place you ought to need to be is at the house of God. I'm telling you, you can go to church on Wednesday night, got to get up at 5 o'clock the next morning, go to work, and I'm telling you, you can skip church, spend 4 extra hours on the couch, and be worse tomorrow than if you went to church and got rest from Jesus, and you could run a race the next morning.
Right. Yes, sir.
Amen.
I dare you to prove him wrong. Amen. Sin steals your spirituality.
Amen.
It'll cause you to quit church. Amen. You stop reading your Bible. And you know what you'll do? You'll quit hanging around saints of God that's trying to walk with the Lord and each other.
Yes, sir.
You know what you'll do? You'll look out there and you'll find you somebody a little less spiritual than you are. Somebody's carnal.
Yeah.
Somebody, Bible said it'd be carnal, mine is death.
Yeah.
Somebody's just a zombie.
Yeah.
Walking around all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if they got my Facebook.
Yeah.
Huh? Did you get my email?
You're right, brother.
Sin.
Yeah.
Amen. It'll cause you to quit church. Folks, I'm telling you, Amen. Quit reading your Bible, quit studying, yeah. quit praying. Everything's going to be done. Mm-hmm. You mark this down. You hear this, preacher? God said, it's S-I-N, sin.
Yes, sir. All day.
Yeah, it ain't, well, I'm just spiritually low. That's called sin.
Amen,
brother. Amen.
Oh, this my heart ain't in it, preacher. It's called sin.
Amen,
brother. Sin.
Yes, sir.
Transgression of God's law.
Amen.
That's
good preaching, brother.
Hello.
Yes,
everybody okay?
Amen.
All right, let me finish. I'll give you this and then we'll hurry. Amen. Sin, let me just read it to you and preach it at home. Sin hinders your prayer life.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. Amen. You say, what's the big deal, preacher? You look at this preacher. One day, you will need to get a hold of God, and God will not hear it. Amen.
That's right. That's right.
Why? Sin.
Yep, that's right. Amen.
Sin. Steals our joy. Psalm 51:5, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. So what I do, preacher, how can I get victory? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to give you three things. I'm going to give them to you. I'm going to read them and we're done. How can you get victory over it in your life? Number one. Amen. Everybody all right?
Amen.
Number one. Watch me now. Don't miss this. Look in my good eye. Get saved.
Amen.
You'd be amazed what salvation will fix in your life. It'll fix a lot of things. Amen. Get saved. Number two, get help from God to hate the sin that God hates.
Amen.
Do you know it's impossible? Impossible. Are you listening? It's impossible to love without hating. You can't have it without the other. If you're going to love some things, you're going to have to hate some things. Hello?
Amen.
I'm just briefing over them because I'm trying to get through here and let you go. You're going to have to hate sin like God hates it. You need to get help from God for that. Amen. Dr. Harold Seidler, how many of you heard of him? He's the pastor at Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Chancellor over that big college down there. Remember that? Remember him?
Yep.
You heard of him?
Yep.
He told a story one time about how he and his wife got kind of older, you know, in years. And for some reason, God let them have a little girl. He said in his late years, he questioned God. God, why? I mean, here I am, you know, this age and my wife's this old. Why would you give us a little girl now? We done raised the family. You know, we're gone. I mean, life's about over for us. And he said she was the most precious thing in the world. Nothing like it in the world. And man, that little girl grew up. She started growing. He said in my latter years, it was the most greatest blessing God ever gave my life. He said, there was nothing more precious in my life than that little girl. Said when she was 12 years old, they were out one evening and a drunk driver hit them. 12 years old, that little girl went out to face God. Harold Seidler said, never have I experienced such a traumatic heartbreaking event in my life. He said, but I'll tell you something. He said, never have I ever hated whiskey and alcohol and drunkenness more than I hate it today. And God let me have that little girl, raise her to be 12 years old, and take her out of my life. Just so I could get a prayer answered. God, let me hate sin like you hate it. Are you hearing me, church? I'm telling you, we need to see it like God sees it. We need to realize how much sin destroys our life. There's nobody under the sound of my voice. Your personal home has not been in some way affected, majorly affected by sin.
Right.
Yep. Do you hear what I'm saying? Everybody. Every divorce is caused by sin. I said every divorce. Every runaway child is a product of sin. Are you listening to me, church? Sin will rob you. Sin will steal from you. Sin will take from you. We've got a robbery in progress right now. You need to see it the way God sees it. How do you get victory? Get help from God to hate sin. Get saved. Amen? Number three, get a heart for God. Mm-hmm. Fall in love with Jesus.
Yeah.
It'll make it so much easier.
Yes, sir.
To hate sin and walk with God. Would you stand with me this morning? Preacher, you come. Close it however you see fit.